If I asked you how many subscriptions you have, would you be able to list all of them and how much you're paying? If you would have asked me this question before I started using Rocket Money, I would have said yes. But let me tell you, I would have been so wrong. I can't believe how many I had and all the money I was wasting. Rocket Money is a personal finance app that finds and cancels your unwanted subscriptions, monitors your spending, and helps lower your bills. Rocket Money has over 5 million users and has helped save its members an average of $720 a year with over 500 million in canceled subscriptions. Stop wasting money on things you don't use. Cancel your unwanted subscriptions by going to rocketmoney.com/wondery. That's rocketmoney.com/wondery. rocketmoney.com/wondery.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code AUDIO to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code AUDIO at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code AUDIO.
Been announced that the Los Angeles Staples Center will change its name to the Crypto.com Arena. So look for the Lakers to be up by 20, then back down by 40, then up by 10,000, then back to zero.
From 30 Rockefeller Plaza in New York City, please enjoy this podcast edition of Late Night with Seth Meyers. On today's show, Seth chats with actor Benedict Cumberbatch. But first, a closer look.
Longtime Trump ally Chris Christie is on a media rehabilitation tour ahead of a possible run for president in 2024. While the man he helped catapult into office is still spreading the same unhinged lies about the election, this time in an interview with Mike Lindell. For more on this, it's time for a closer look. If you've been watching CNN or MSNBC lately, it seems like there's been one person in particular who's been more ubiquitous than ever.
We've spent the past hour on Chris Christie and what it's like to be him.
Still ahead on Morning Joe, former New Jersey Governor Chris Christie.
Former Governor of New Jersey Chris Christie will join the conversation.
When we come back, Chris Christie.
Joining us now, former New Jersey Governor Chris Christie.
Joining us now, the aforementioned Chris Christie.
We're back with former New Jersey Governor Chris Christie.
Chris Christie joins me now.
Former Republican Governor of New Jersey Chris Christie.
I mean, at this point, Christie's on cable news so much, they're going to start putting him in a tiny box in the corner of the screen. And let's check in on our Christie cam. Oh, looks like he's arguing with a stagehand about the Jets. Let's see how this plays out. I mean, my God, he's been on cable news more often than the reverse mortgage commercial starring Tom Selleck. At least do us the courtesy of growing the mustache, Christie. Also, damn you, Selleck, and your silver tongue. I took out a reverse mortgage thinking I'd score some quick cash, and now Tom Selleck lives in my house with my wife and kids. In fact, he's doing the reverse mortgage commercials from my attic. And even worse, he's best friends with the sea captain now.
Love me some Selleck. He's my favorite of the three men and a baby. Sorry, Gutenberg.
True story. Every night I do a Q&A with the audience, and every night at least one person says, bring back the sea captain, and then the rest of the audience just starts chucking rocks at whoever said it. Meanwhile, all I can think is, where did everybody get loose rocks in New York? Anyway, cable is so desperate to fill time that CNN even aired a ludicrous special focused entirely on Christie called Being Chris Christie. Is it called that because being is the only title he has left? Governor? No, he left office with a dismal approval rating. Candidate? Oh, no, he crashed and burned hard in the GOP primary. But he is still technically a being. And I'm sorry, but is there a mystery to being Chris Christie? You guys are acting like he's some weird lifestyle-having guy like everybody wants to know about. He's not Harry Styles or Banksy. He's a loudmouth from New Jersey. If you want to know what he's thinking, you don't need CNN. You just have to be within earshot, which is, for him, I think, like a mile. In fact, if this show was authentic in New Jersey, it wouldn't be called Being Chris Christie. It'd be called This Guy. The only way I'd be interested in a show called Being Chris Christie is if I could enter his head, being John Malkovich style, and make him do something embarrassing, like, I don't know, stand behind someone who hates him. Oh, right, you know, he did that. Okay, I'd make him sit alone on a closed beat. Oh, he did that too. You know what? Never mind. Now, let's just establish right off the bat that Chris Christie is without credibility when it comes to Trump. He repeatedly said he wasn't suited to be president, that he didn't have the temperament or experience for the job. Then he became one of the first prominent Republicans to endorse him in 2016. Then he stood by him throughout his presidency and even helped him prep for that first debate in 2020, where Trump yelled nonstop for 90 minutes like a caller on a sports radio show who shouts over Mike Francesa. No, no, Mike, you don't understand. Excuse me, Mike. It's good that the Mets let Syndergaard go. Excuse me, because Jacob deGrom is never injured. You know, it's nice when the Mets are in the news for being up so we can take a break from making fun of the Jets, but it is true. Noah Syndergaard, who was here on this show not too long ago, is now a Los Angeles Angel. And when he was here, he certainly acted like he was going to be a Met for life. But there were some signs, like when I said, hey, maybe we can get dinner when the season starts, he said, maybe? So your nickname might be Thor, but to me, you're a Loki. Anyway, Christie was so deeply invested in getting Trump elected president and keeping him in office that he helped prep him for that show debate where Trump was so insane and unhinged that the moderator had to keep shouting the word no at him like a dog who wouldn't stop humping his owner's leg.
I'll ask Joe.
Mr. President.
Which was heavily
Mr. President. Mr. President. Mr. President. No.
Can I be honest? It's a very important question.
Try to be honest. The answer to the question is no.
I mean, the only way I want to hear from Christie as if he told us he was a double agent trying to destroy Trump's campaign from the inside. Yeah, I helped him prep for the debate, told him issues were for losers, and made him snort half a dozen pixie sticks. But Christie was a key part of the debate prep. In fact, according to a new book, Christie was tasked with playing Biden for a mock debate session. First of all, there's never been a worse casting choice for the role of Joe Biden than Chris Christie. Biden's a soft-talking grandpa from Delaware, and Christie's a New Jersey bully with the temperament of a seagull attacking a beach blanket in Atlantic City. It's like if they couldn't get Tom Hanks to play Sully Sullenberger and instead went with Al Pacino.
Oh, buckle up, muchacho. We are going down. We got hit by a loose goose. This is your captain, Sully. Isn't it weird? If you had a last name Sullenberger, would you name your kid Sully? It's a nickname. What's his real name? Chesley.
But the reason Trump apparently blew up at Christie during that debate prep session was because Trump was obsessed with all the nonsense conspiracy theories Rudy Giuliani was pushing about Biden and his family. So Christie, playing the part of Biden, brought up Trump's own conflicts of interest to prep him for Biden's response. Rudy was being a disruptive force, one of the attendees said. No matter what we were talking about, all he wanted to do was talk about Hunter Biden. As Giuliani struggled to display a video that purportedly showed more evidence of Biden's corruption, his iPad kept freezing. Christie came to see the line of attack as a risky strategy for Trump, giving his own ethics issue. In character as Biden, he went on the attack to illustrate the point. At one point, Trump said to Christie, I'm not going to sit here and put up with this. All right, first of all, I love that while they were trying to prepare the president for a nationally televised debate, Rudy was sitting there distracting everyone trying to get his iPad to work. My iPad keeps freezing. Rudy, that's not an iPad. That's a picture frame. That can't be right. I got it from my IT guy, Michael. Now, as you may know, not only was that debate prep a disaster, just in terms of the debate itself, but on top of that, Christie and a bunch of other people in the room got COVID from it. And even then, Trump apparently had no concern whatsoever for Christie's well-being. In fact, in his new book, Christie writes that his priest arrived in the hospital and rubbed oils on his forehead in the sign of the cross, praying over him. He got a call from a hospitalized Trump who had one main concern, are you gonna say you got it from me? Talking about COVID like Christie's RA just found a bag of weed in a sock drawer.
Are you gonna say you got it for me, Chris? Because I'm already on thin ice with the dean.
And yet, despite the fact that debate prep was a disaster, and he got yelled at by Trump, and that he was complicit in and actively supportive of a catastrophic and deeply corrupt presidency, that, among other things, subverted our democracy, let a deadly respiratory disease spiral wildly out of control, and created our economy, Christie said he really only had one regret about his participation.
In the last days of the Trump administration, The New Yorker published a Q&A with you with the headline, Chris Christie has no regrets. Really?
I really don't. Look, Mike,
I don't regret prepping Donald Trump for his bait in to run for re-election.
I do not. The only regret I have about that is I caught COVID when I was doing it.
It's pretty great when you're trying to see if a person has a guilty conscience and their only regret is, I got sick. It's like a judge asking a drunk driver if he has anything to say before sentencing, and they yell, just that no one seems to care that my Camaro's all scratched up. So now Christie's trying to rehab his image as part of a book tour by casting himself as some sort of straight shooter when it comes to the 2020 election. Look, I guess at this point, any Republican who's willing to say the election wasn't stolen deserves a shred of credit, which tells you just how far the GOP has fallen. But why are we taking Chris Christie, of all people, seriously? He stood by this obviously monstrous man for years, and he still refuses to say whether he'd support Trump again in 2024.
Donald Trump has made it pretty clear he wants to run for president again. Would you support him?
Oh, look, I don't know that he's going to run.
What if he does?
I'm going to run? Yeah. Look, what if? I've learned.
I mean, it's not as if it's a big secret that he's seriously considering it.
He's seriously considering it. Let's see what happens when he does. And let's see who he is and what he says and how he conducts himself.
Oh, yes. Let's see which Donald Trump will show up. Will it be the well-spoken and serious statesman, or will it be the one who exists? You know, the being Donald Trump. I'm sorry, you still think there's some mystery as to how Donald Trump is going to conduct himself? Having kids, I've read a lot of books about what to expect at different stages, but not one of them has said your toddler should start to understand that actions have consequences by the time they reach age 75. It's especially ludicrous to claim you don't know how Trump will conduct himself when, as we speak, he's still spreading the big lie that Christie supposedly criticizes him for. Trump just did an interview with MyPillow CEO Mike Lindell, where he and Lindell competed for worst posture and rambled on about the same old election conspiracy theories. And by the way, Christie has no credibility, especially when it comes to questions about the 2020 election, because he repeatedly insisted in the run-up to the election that Trump would accept the result, even though Trump was loudly proclaiming at the time that the only way he could lose is if it was stolen.
You know this guy well. Do you believe he would follow critical conventions in the United States and have a peaceful transition of power for those months between this election result and the next inauguration?
There's no question in my mind that President Trump will participate in a peaceful transition of power if he does not win tomorrow night.
If it doesn't go the president's way, you know him pretty well. Is he prepared to accept defeat?
Yes. Yeah, I think he is. I think there also is part of him that knows that not leaving the White House, putting up that kind of stink in terms of peaceful transition, just is not the way he wants to leave.
I'm sorry, you thought Trump wouldn't put up a stink? That's all he ever does, put up a stink. If he had his own line of deodorant, that would be the tagline. For the life of me, I can't understand why the media is willingly participating in the rehabilitation of a guy like Chris Christie. He was a central figure in the rise of an obviously horrendous president who left the nation in ruins. He shouldn't get a chance to launder his reputation ahead of another presidential run with reporters following him around asking him what he thinks. The only two things that should follow Christie around are support for Trump and
the stink.
This has been a closer look.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Our guest tonight is an Oscar-nominated, Emmy-winning actor you know from movies like The Imitation Game, The Hobbit, and the Avengers franchise, as well as the series Sherlock. He stars in The Power of the Dog, which is in select theaters today and on Netflix December 1st. Please welcome to the show, Benedict Cumberbatch. Hello, Benedict!
Hi, Seth. How are you?
Now, Benedict, I know you to be a very lovely person, and that is very much not who you were playing in this film.
You should see me on a Monday morning. No, I mean, it was a bit of a reach, to say the least. And I mean, you know, it's a strange one. You get a call from Jane Campion and you just say, you know, what, when, where I'm in. And then you find out what it is and go, why me? but she had faith. She knew there was something about this character, something that made him truly vulnerable underneath the hard exterior of sort of toxic masculinity that she thought I could bring to it. And she had every faith that I'd get the kind of the hard machismo down. And I had a few experiences. I she was amazing. She was amazing rehearsals as well as production and ever since. And she said, look, if there's anything you feel insecure about, we're here to help you as a production. Please let us know. And I went, okay. Banjo playing, being an ass, whittling, whistling. I mean, just this list of things this guy has lived, breathed, and mastered over 40 odd years of his life on this ranch in 1925 Montana. So they took me to do camp, and I learned to do everything I do in the film, pretty much.
Not only do you get to work with Jane Campion, you get to shoot in New Zealand. That must have added to the many pleasures of this project.
It's her kingdom, but my God, it's such a welcoming place. Everyone there is sort of hardwired to be hospitable. And that landscape is another character in the film and just a gift for an actor, especially one playing a character who's so much about the outside and bringing the outside in. He's a man who never takes his clothes off. He never washes. He's incredibly buttoned up and contained and dirtified by his work in a very honest way. And, you know, the landscape is also his refuge. It's the one place where he can be private and be true to the sort of secret that he's hiding and find the sort of moment to express that and connect with that. And at the same time, it's what he masters, the weather, the animals, the men that help him run the ranch. And to be in a place like that, which is truly still some of the most, I think, spectacular wilderness on the planet, was just such a gift for this movie.
So I heard that you went a whole week without showering. Was this a choice that you made for your character, or did Jane ask this of you?
It's such a thing, this sort of people not washing. But this was for character work, I would say, first and foremost. And it was a request, and my family hadn't yet arrived in the country, so that was helpful. However, you know, there was a cleaner who came in once or twice a week. And then Jane went, this is great. So we're going to go meet some friends for sushi. And I'm like, oh, no, I'm like a biohazard zone. I'm walking 5 feet in front of me, you know. People wanting selfies are going, can I have a, and just run in the opposite direction, which is no bad thing sometimes. But, you know, in rehearsal and just to feel, this guy didn't wash for like months. So it's pretty tame. It's big in our modern day environment of cleanliness and one or two showers. Open the debate a day. But, you know, it's quite something to go there, even just for a week. It's very peculiar.
So I heard Jesse Plemons, who plays your brother, the incredible actor, that one of the things Jane asked was for you guys to, as actors, learn each other's smell. She asked you to waltz together, to take an afternoon nap together. Now, I have to ask, does it take a director of Jane Campion's level for you to say, okay,
kind of. It's not a request I get much on a Marvel set, but I'd happily take a nap with Jesse Plemons on any job.
Yeah.
He's a sweetheart and an extraordinarily gifted actor, one of the best, if not the best, of our generation. I have so much admiration for him. And yet, you know, there we are as brothers suddenly just thrown together for a brief moment of trying to create this story. And these guys, odd as it seems to us now, shared the same bedroom, not the same bed. We didn't nap in the same bed, but, you know, what is it to sort of lie beside one another and those sort of everything that sleep is about to be something that's sort of shared in such an intimate space? And, you know, I'd grown up with the guy. I've knocked about with him. We fought with everything that brothers do over their lifetime. And I was just meeting this very cool dude who I was full of admiration for off an airplane. And you know, to be thrown together in such a peculiar way was actually really, really helpful. It just broke that down and made it something real and connected. And, that all preciousness just evaporated. It was great.
It's so funny to me. And, again, it speaks to your great range as an actor to work on a project like this where it's very much like the authenticity of learning another actor's smell. Versus you mentioned a Marvel movie where you show up and it's like, now pretend that over there is a monster.
I know. There's the person you smell. It's a ping pong ball. I know. I think it still requires the same kind of level of interrogation and authenticity. You're just using your imagination a lot more. Not least because, you know, you can't afford to fix it on in post when you're doing a film like Jane's. And the real world environment is a gift in that sense for the power of the dog, and also the sort of childish gameplay and just freedom of imagination for doing the sort of Marvel work it's a different muscle, but it's equally as interesting and challenging for me. I love both. I really do.
You seem like someone that would be great to collaborate on a film set, and yet I heard a story that early in your acting days, you were in a school play as a young man. You were playing Joseph, and you thought the actor who was playing Mary was taking too long with her line, and you shoved her off stage. True story?
Yeah, true story. And this voice came across an outdoor swimming pool, this Lido in Hampstead, near where I live, only last year, going, Benedict, I was the Mary you pushed off the stage with kids, you know, this fully grown adult. And I said, I don't know where to put myself right now. I'm so, so sorry. She went, oh, no, it's great. I dine out on the story.
Yeah, I guess that's true. I mean, if you're not going to make it as an actor yourself, you might as well get shoved by someone who's been incredibly successful.
I wouldn't advocate that as a way into a career.
So then you go on to drama school. What kind of student were you then?
Mixed, you know. I had great respect for a lot of the process, a lot of the classes. And then at other times, I think I hadn't got being the sort of student who liked to sort of muck about and make his friends laugh at the back of the class out of my system. And, you know, there were moments of great integrity and stuff that I learned, great pearls of wisdom and just shards of things that just I exercise all the time in my work. And then other moments where I was going, this is just, you know, I need to sort of do something to not get bored and just entertain people at the back of the room. So I would say a mixed bag, but I'm very proud of my school. I'm president of Lambda now. And, you know, I think there's lots of things I'm grateful for in the privilege of my upbringing and my life. But one of the things I noticed most is that at the beginning of an actor's career, every single advantage counts. And so we're trying really hard to make that school as accessible and as inclusive as possible. So that's the kind of thing I'm really proud of being a part of and being back in that environment to do. But at the time, yeah, I could be a pain in the ass.
Very nice. It's very adult of you to be able to admit that now. You also have a show coming out on Amazon Prime called The Electrical Life of, am I saying this right, Louis Wayne?
Yes, you are saying it right. You are saying it right. I'm super proud of this film. The director and rewriter, I should say, was Simon Siemens originally, but it's is Will Sharp. He's an extraordinary talent, and rather like Jane, he just has a mastery of every aspect of filmmaking, from the ratio of the screen to the texture of the clothing to, I mean, you know, even going up to the first violinist in the recording of his brother's score. It's a very talented family, and saying, you know, this is what the character's feeling at the moment that you're playing this theme. And it was just, I fell in love with Louis. He's a very quiet hero in a very loud Victorian world. And he suffered a great deal from finding it difficult to be in this world. He was diagnosed in his life with schizophrenia, though he's not here now, obviously, to ask or observe. So out of respect, and we're less prescriptive in our take on him. But, you know, he struggled. And it's really a film about love, the love he had for his wife, beautifully played by Claire Foy, sustaining him throughout his life and his career. And oh, gosh, I don't know. I mean, there are just some characters that don't leave you alone. I loved Phil Burbank, perversely, because he's a troubled dude. But Louis Wayne, there's just, yeah, I've got a real soft spot for him. I think he's a very special human being and a story worth telling.
Well, I can't wait to see that. And congratulations again on the film. It really is. It is a film. We were talking briefly before the show, and I know it sounds a little pretentious, but it is really a piece of cinema, and it's incredibly engaging, and it's a wonderful story, but congratulations.
Thanks so much, Seth. Thank you.
Benedict Cumberbatch, everybody. The Power of the Dog is in select theaters today on Netflix, December 1st.
Late Night with Seth Meyers airs weeknights on NBC at 12:35, 11:35 Central. Original music on the Late Night podcast is by the HE Band. Don't forget to follow the handle Late Night Seth on social media and tell your friends to subscribe to the Late Night podcast wherever they get their podcasts.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.